Hi everyone, this is Wendy and welcome back to Overexposed, a podcast profiling ordinary people doing extraordinary things made by and for ambitious creatives. This year has no doubt been a challenging one for all parties involved. Lives and careers have been uprooted and uncertainty lingers wherever we go. As we are all trying to get back on our feet, we will obviously go through some growing pains, but perhaps there's some sort of silver lining in all of this. Our conversation today is with Anna Dixon, who is currently the visual lead at Google. She holds a goldmine of experience in the imaging industry, with expertise from content creation to curation to asset management and everything in between. Above all else, she's an advocate for positive change and moving forward, always keeping one finger on the pulse of this industry. In this episode, we will talk about how to identify emerging opportunities and moving forward during times of change. It is such an honor to have Anna on this episode today. And my hope for you all is that at the end of this episode, you can come out with a handful of tangible tips that you can apply right away on how to move forward with your career with a positive outlook on the amazing progress and innovation that is happening right now. Hi, Anna. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So your expertise right now is in managing imaging assets for publishers, media, and technology companies like Huffington Post, The Wall Street Journal, Rolling Stone, and now currently at Google. Landing a creative role at some of the most influential companies in the world seems like a dream for most creators, but everyone has to start somewhere. Now, I'm curious to know, where did your own creative background come from? Were you a photographer when you first started?
So I did start in photography. I went to school for photography. I fell in love with it in high school, you know, developing film in a dark room, which was a thing back in the day, and was trying to decide if I wanted to become a doctor or a photographer. And I ended up at art school in photography. And essentially, my plan was to move to New York City and become a photographer. And I took an internship at Netscape in 2004 while I was in my senior year as a photo editor. And it was sort of my first foray into anything outside of just shooting photography. I had no idea that photo editing was something that existed at the time. And I really fell in love with this idea that there were all of these images out there in the world and that someone somewhere ultimately had to decide who saw what, where, when, and why. And that was very meaningful, that the images that you chose to present to the world were really, really important. And it seemed just like a lot of responsibility. And I also thought there were a lot more talented photographers out there than me. So I wanted to give them a chance to have their work seen. And that's really was the catalyst for my whole career.
So your first job in the industry was as a photo editor. Were you still shooting photos yourself as a photographer during this time?
Yeah, I kept shooting. I kept shooting for years. Even after moving to New York, I would take some photography jobs, and working at places, I would do some photography for them or on the side. I did several photo shoots for Guitar World magazine while I worked there, which was great to work at sort of a smaller magazine and have an opportunity to shoot musicians that I loved. I did a couple of very small shoots for Rolling Stone, which were, I mean, really small, like we're in the deep depths of the magazine well somewhere, but did a lot of that work still. And I still shoot. It's different for me now. I don't really shoot jobs anymore for people, but I really do still enjoy. I sometimes do headshots, and I've done some stuff here, even at Google, for people with headshots and things of that nature. And yeah, I guess I was shooting up until even just a few years ago, doing a lot of shooting for work still where it made sense.
Wow. Well, first of all, I just want to say that it's so cool that you shot for Rolling Stone. For me, I started in music photography.
Oh, awesome.
It also stemmed from a place where it was like, I like concerts and I want to figure out how I can get into these places for free. And shooting for Rolling Stone was like the benchmark of how you knew that you made it as a music photographer.
Yeah, well, trust me, the photos were very deep in the well of Rolling Stone and not anything anybody would have noticed, but it was still pretty fun and terrifying all at the same time. But yeah, but I can relate to that, like wanting to go to the shows, and I did a lot of that as well.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool that you took a different approach, kind of like diversifying your own skills to get to somewhere. So as a photographer, it seems like the only way to kind of make it somewhere is to either shoot for really big people or own a business of your own. But really smart to be able to find a different avenue where your skills are needed. And while you're still a photographer, you have these adjacent skills to be able to open up your career choices and even gave you a little bit of a competitive advantage over others.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, it's similar to almost any career in the sense that I think when you go into any job, you know, you go to be a teacher or a doctor or a police officer, when you're growing up, you think of careers as these very narrow things. And I don't think photography is any different. But I do think that when you start to get into the industry, you realize that there are actually a lot of other paths that you can take that still rely on that skill set that aren't actually photography itself necessarily. And I think it's definitely can be difficult for people to sort of consolidate those things, but it is very, very possible. And it's kind of nice to open yourself up to that world of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that, like, even though you're still in the industry, it allows you to preserve this aspect of photography as a passion and as a
Absolutely.
Hobby rather than really having to do it for work, because it really changes the landscape of things when you have to do something because you have to, or you want to do something because it's something that brings you joy.
Yeah, agree. Absolutely. And that's what I do now pretty heavily is it's, you know, I shoot on the side, I shoot for myself. I think it still keeps me focused and I look at a lot of photography and it still keeps me involved in a really great way. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think there's more to offer. It's actually, I think, a huge benefit to have that sort of viewpoint and knowledge base and bring it into other areas of work that don't have that sort of skill set. And it really lends itself to that. And if you keep continuing to practice it on the side, then it just keeps you in tune with what's going on everywhere else in the industry. I think it's very helpful to do that.
So I want to dive in a little bit about your current role. So when thinking about tech companies, it's usually like engineers, programmers, and scientists that are usually the first to come to mind. Can you give us an idea of what the creative team at Google looks like and how you all work together?
Sure. So Google is a very big company, and there's not really one creative team. There's actually sort of several different types of creative teams at Google. And it varies from everything from UX designers to content strategists to marketing teams, etc. So, you know, there's no centralized team that is, in material design, which is a really awesome internal team that we work with. And then you have other teams that work with like external teams, and there's the creative lab. There's just tons and tons of different creative teams at Google. So it really sort of depends on their focus and what they're working on. We definitely have like a streamlined set of standards and expectations that everybody adheres to and works off of. And we focus our energies sort of around that. But you also have people who are regularly thinking about the specific user use cases and collaborating with product teams to really bring various different products to life. So Unfortunately, it's not easy to say that there's one centralized team that works fluidly together, but I would say it's a large web of teams who work fluidly together because everybody likes fluidity and standards.
Yeah, Google is this like monolith in this modern day that's become so ingrained in everyone's life that we don't really like take the time to really think about how big it actually is and how much there is to it.
Yeah.
And what are some of the ways where you specifically work with photography? Do you have an in-house production team or how does it work with deciding in terms of imagery in your role?
Yeah. So we do a ton of stuff. And this sort of goes back to what I was saying a little bit earlier about having that expertise, you know, within an area that maybe there isn't a large expertise of that skill set in particular. We do a lot of different things. We really, the way that I see it is we work across a variety of different products to understand what their visual requirements are. I think as the world is becoming a much, much more visual place holistically, you know, our products are doing a lot more with visuals as well. And that's sort of a newer path for a lot of the teams. And when you're trying to represent the entire world, it can be difficult to do that. So we do everything from advising on the best sources for content and helping teams sort of craft how they can, essentially their content strategy around imagery and what they're looking for, to licensing imagery for product teams and helping them ensure that they have coverage of all of the things that they want images for, and selecting images in certain areas. And we work with marketing teams in that sense, and, you know, working to produce content as well. That's an area that we've spent a little bit of time in and is a growing need for a lot of teams. So it's really runs the gamut. The way that I always like to think about it is sort of right image in the right place at the right time, and doing whatever we need to do to sort of figure out the best path forward there. But it is, as you can imagine, there's a lot of content in the world and a lot of things that people are interested in and that we want to represent. So there's a lot of avenues for where you can get that imagery from, where, how to supply that imagery, et cetera, and a lot of needs and use cases. And as we just discussed, Google is huge. So it can be anything from a product team to a marketing team to, you know, it's sort of endless and very hard to describe.
Yeah. And something we always say at Pexels is that imagery has the power to make or break ideologies.
Yeah.
And even though with Pexels, like, we're very, very small and compared to the search for Google, but it probably is like a very huge responsibility to be able to represent like the world. Essentially, everything is so globalized now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things, you know, that you just mentioned is that there's so much imagery out there, but I think finding it and is can be very, very difficult. Not everybody adds metadata to all of their images, or the metadata, especially as we're all starting to speak a visual language and communicate visually. The path of what we used to do, which is just essentially labeling what's in an image, is changed because you're using an image to express what you want to say. And that's a very different type of metadata to be associated with an image that might make it a little harder to find or easier to find, depending on what you're looking for. And I think representing an emotion or representing a concept is sort of the future of where we're going and how to do that in a really good, interesting way and be able to do it seamlessly is a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And what was the biggest difference for you moving from working in imagery at a publications versus at Google?
That's a great question. I think scale is one thing, just the volume and is a big change and challenge. And I think that's probably the biggest thing is just the scale and really trying to, you know, you're not looking at a single image with a single mm-hmm. article. You're looking at images for hundreds of thousands of things, millions of things, and trying to figure out the best way to do that can be pretty difficult, but it's also a really interesting challenge because there are all of these images, but it's difficult to sort of map it all to the right places sometimes. So that's, I think, the biggest challenge holistically.
Yeah, I can only imagine like how big Google is, like just from the perspective of someone on the inside. Like from the outside, we see it as something that we use every day, but the functionalities of it once you're in the back end must be a lot. And it seems like a blessing and a curse. Like in a way, you have so much to work with, but it can be, as you said, like difficult to narrow it down from there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think when you look at almost, you know, any of the technology companies that are heavily reliant on or producing or focused on visual content, they're likely running into some of the same challenges, you know. And if you think about it, that is most places at this point. Like, you know, if you're looking at Yelp, there's a ton of images there. You know, certainly there's tons of images, obviously, on Instagram and on Pinterest and places like that. And TikTok is all, you know, with the videos, mm-hmm. like everybody is very content heavy. And I think it presents a really compelling challenge and opportunity all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And like you mentioned before, the photography landscape is constantly changing. And sometimes it could be difficult to predict, especially now this pandemic has really impacted creatives and have uprooted a lot of careers and businesses as we're all trying to adapt to these circumstances. And although it's not ideal, it seems like there's a lot of room for innovation and kind of reinvention. How do you stay on top of current trends and identify emerging opportunities in your current role?
Yeah, that is so important and exciting. And I actually just attended a conference that I've been doing for the last few years. This time it was virtually attended, called Visual First. And I think that is a really great conference because it does present a lot of different mm-hmm. aspects of the imagery industry. I attend a lot of conferences, and I think there are several very good ones out there. And I think there are, you know, again, keeping sort of yourself open to those types of opportunities to see what other people are doing is really important. I sort of remember coming up in photography, and I've talked to a lot of photographers about this, that a little bit of fear and of sharing information, because I think people tend to be, mm-hmm. can be very protective, obviously over their own stuff and careers, but sharing information and listening to what other people are doing really allows for you to think about ways that you might be able to pivot your own career and your own work into something else. And mm-hmm. Going back to Visual First, I think a couple of the things, stories that we heard specifically there were about exactly that. And the pandemic was a big topic of discussion, and how it was impacting people's companies was a very big topic of discussion. But there were some really cool stories about how, like, photo booth event photography places were going online, and that as events moved online, they were pivoting to move their businesses online and create these like photo booth style experiences for the mm-hmm. events, online event space, which is something that never would have really existed before or had any reason to exist before. But it's moments like that that you realize, oh, maybe I should look at what I'm doing and see if there's anywhere mm-hmm. that sort of I can fit in into this new world and push forward with that. So, you know, it certainly doesn't always work for every industry. Some people were definitely talking about that their industries, like paper printing, was looking for sort of the inspiration from others and collaboration opportunities. That's the other thing. Collaboration, opportunities to collaborate with others really can benefit you. So, you know, conferences, reading about what other people are doing, networking, making those connections, and being, again, open-minded and open to opportunity, I think is really, really important in order to be able to thrive in an uncertain environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you mentioned about constantly learning and attending these conferences in a way to like build community. Essentially, yeah. That's why I started this podcast as well, is what someone else does can't guarantee success for yourself. But the aggregate of all these stories that you hear of people that you look up to, like yourself, for example, it'll give you a better idea of the rough direction that you should be going into.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. I think it's super, super important to just find that community that you can and connect with them and grow it. And it's awesome that you are doing the podcast to give the ability for people to really create that community. It's super important.
Oh, thank you. So what do you think is the best way for photographers to best prepare themselves for this rapid change? So obviously I'm learning from other people the best you can.
Yeah. Again, open-mindedness and networking and connection. I think there's nothing stopping any of us at this point from jumping online, creating those dialogues and those communities to be able to have sort of open conversations about what's working and what's not. I think that the more people share, I definitely don't think like, you know, if you hear this didn't work 100 times, but you believe that you can make it work, I don't think that hearing no a whole bunch should make you feel it's not worth doing. I think you should do it. That's how I just sort of repeat myself until I get something done. That's how I have lived my life. But, you know, I think having those open dialogues, making those connections, finding good partners, and figuring out how you can, you know, I hate to say it's like how you can differentiate from the others. I think that saying that stresses people out. Like, I think a lot of people are like, oh God, how do I make myself different? But I do think it's about just finding those key opportunities that work for you and that fit into your network and your ecosystem. Just because somebody else is doing something that you find appealing doesn't mean you can't do the same thing in just a different environment or network if it's something that works for you. I'm a huge advocate of change, oddly, because I think it brings new challenges and I think new opportunity comes right along with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely seems like it's another point now. Like even thinking back, like these companies like Uber and Airbnb, they got their start during the 2008 financial crisis. And now they're some of the biggest companies in the world. So even though it's a challenging time, it is, like you said, sort of exciting as we prepare for change and like more innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a huge aspect of it. Again, like they just looked around at the environment and they were like, what is not making sense or what doesn't make sense that, you know, how can I sort of get into that space? Or they just saw an opportunity and they went for it. And I think that's really what it's about. And that's, you know, listening to success stories right now of people taking their businesses online. I think, you know, what is it, 8-9 months ago, I think if you'd have said, I'm going to have a successful online photography business where we're doing events online, people would have been like, wait, what? That's crazy. But you know, it's working now. So I think the question is, as things come back, that how do you take what you've learned over this time? How do you extend it? How do you grow it? How do you take that next step and move it forward? So, you know, it's an opportunity to explore and try new things and then grow from it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems like there's this like new vulnerability aspect to it too. Like in a way, everyone's kind of on the same playing field. We're all working from home in some way. So like, I don't know, like CEOs and junior managers are all doing the same thing. So it gives you like more opportunity to be able to try new things. And because everyone's kind of doing the same everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Photography is becoming democratized in a way that anybody can virtually become a photographer. And there's a lot more platforms available to publish imagery. From your experience in news publications and also at Google, how do you see the role of photographers and photos editors changing?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a shift in all directions. And I think that it's so hard to like pinpoint one thing because there's so much that's changing. I think I'll start with photographers. For photographers, there's a lot more content out there for sure. There are also a lot more content needs. And I think there's a little bit of a pendulum. I think at first when there was an explosion of content, the pendulum swung really far into the like full user-generated content mode, et cetera. And I think we're seeing as people are realizing also the value, the importance, the quality that all of that is very important depending on what your use case is as a brand, as a company, as an advertiser, as a merchandiser, as whatever it is, that you may have more specific needs than whatever you can generally aggregate from the web. I also think there's points where aggregation of content from the social networks and users, et cetera, makes sense where you're a brand and you want people who are fans of your brand to show that they're fans of your brand and that that resonates with people. I think that's reasonable. I think when you have a advertising product shoot you want to do, you're going to hire a professional to do that. So I actually think that there's definitely, it's a changing landscape and it's difficult to navigate, mm-hmm. but I also think it's difficult probably for, everybody else who are actually acquiring or creating the photography to navigate too, because they're in a situation where they, like we talked about before with search, have to find not just the content, but find the photographers in a sea of photographers. And that presents its own set of challenges that need to be worked through. So I think that's from all sides a complication. But again, going back to the challenges, it also presents a ton of opportunity. I really do think that there's more people looking for visuals than there were, mm-hmm. 10 years ago. And it's just about consolidating that. From a photo editor perspective, I think that there's obviously also a big shift. I work with a team of what I call their photo specialists because they do things that are photo editing, but not really photo editing and sort of photo editing, but mm-hmm. Content strategy type of stuff. I think that the expertise in imagery is extremely important. I think that the photo editor role is shifting. I think that exists still in publishing in the way it previously did, even though there might be less roles that are dedicated to it. But I definitely think that there are tons of opportunities for people who have that expertise. They just might not be listed as a photo editor. And I think that's its own challenge is, well, where do I even start to look for a job as a photo editor if it's called something else? And that again is where I think the networking comes in and understanding, the industry. And, if you're looking at whether it be magazines or advertising or tech companies or whatever it is, there's clearly content, there's clearly visuals. If it's something that is compelling and interesting to you, then do your research, find out how it's there, why it's there, who's responsible for it being there, and see how you can talk to those people as to how they got there. If it's something you're really interested in, then explore it from that route. And it's sort of same thing with photography. Talk to people who have done it. If you see people who are doing what you want to do and get the advice, go talk to people and ask, how'd you get to where you are? Because people will happily tell you most of the time, share their details. Don't take it for this is the only path. Mm-hmm. Talk to multiple people because there's never yeah. one way to get there. But yeah. There's definitely huge changes on all sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like the common theme has been just that there are opportunities and it is this time of change and it leaves gaps in the market that wasn't there before that is untouched and leaves room for innovation.
Yes. Wow, you said that much more eloquently than I did.
Yeah, but it's also like you mentioned, constantly learning and keeping up with all of this change as it's happening rather than, I don't know, like a few years from now and being like, oh, what happened there and how do I catch up? So it's,
yeah.
Yeah. Even though it's not a great time right now, there is a lot of opportunity for learning and continued learning rather than just kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think if there's anything that the last 20 years, 10, 20, probably 20 years has taught us is that like, it doesn't do anybody any good to, and I mean, especially in with how technology is progressing, to wait for things to go back to the way they were, because that is not mm-hmm. going to happen. And I think moving forward is great. And also, that's how we progress. That's how we progress as people. That's how we progress as creatives. That's how we grow, and it's how our business grows. And mm-hmm. and again, it's like everybody should be supporting each other. And the more we collaborate, the more we grow, and the more we explore, the more we're going to actually bring to our own community of photographers, of photo editors, of creatives and visual professionals. So yeah, I mean, I think we should be headed in a forward direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love what you mentioned, that things are probably never going to be back where they used to be. And you hear all the time where people are like, oh, like when things get back to normal. But yeah, it's a good thing that maybe there's change happening and we're moving forward rather than just going back to how things were.
Yeah, agree. Totally agree.
So besides having a good understanding of the craft itself, what other skills do you think photographers should possess if they want to work within a bigger company, but still stay in a creative role?
Yeah, you know, I think networking is important. For me, it's project management is a big part of what I'm doing. But I think it sort of depends on the role that you move towards in company. I mean, time management, basic like organizational skills and things of that nature. I think if you're running your own photography business and have any success running your own photography business, then you probably have some of those skills already, because you must if you've got your own business. But I think working in a larger company, you definitely have to be flexible. You have to be open to and other people's ideas and collaboration and sort of networking internally and understanding lots of different dynamics and figuring mm-hmm. out how to collaborate in the right way with a lot of different voices in the room. But, you know, I think that's a part of working in any role at any company, you know, to begin with. But any additional skills that you can bring to a role are usually pretty valuable. I do think that things like content strategy are growing as a specific skill set. I'm not sure. I think that we're going to see some creative fields like that are going to shift and change in the next few years. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's again, sort of about keeping an eye out and talking to people and seeing what's appearing and how you fit in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And if there's any time to practice effective time management, now is the best time.
Yes, for sure.
So just wrapping up, are there any upcoming projects that you're working on that you're excited about? Obviously, I don't have to go into detail, but...
I'm excited. What I'm excited about for this year is, and the upcoming projects that we're doing, I'm really, really excited to see how our products are going to evolve across Google, how we can help them evolve. You know, as I mentioned before, people are becoming, our products are becoming more and more visual. The world is becoming more and more visual, and we really have an opportunity to sort of grow with them and explore a lot of new avenues and new opportunities with imagery across the board. So I think there's a ton to be excited about. And I can't wait, whether we're back in the office or working from home. I'm just looking forward to pushing forward. It should be great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a scary time, but it's also a very exciting time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Anna. There were some very, very amazing points that you mentioned. Yeah, it just seems like it's a great time to really like learn more about any specific industry that you want to try to get into. And there's a lot more gaps in this market as long as you're willing to really buckle down and learn about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having me. I think it's super exciting. There's a lot of great opportunities for people out there, and I hope that they explore them, look outside the box, and be open-minded and you know, talk to other like-minded people, and we can continue to grow our industry.